This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady for AvWeb, and I'm talking with Doug Stewart. He's the executive director of the Society of Aviation and Flight Educators, which maybe is more commonly just known by their acronym SAFE. And they put on a bunch of programs at Oshkosh this year at Air Venture, and they're pretty happy about the results from that, and they're going to continue that programming. So, Doug, thanks for talking to us. I guess to start out, why don't you just give us the background? What exactly were you up to at Oshkosh?
Okay, well, Mary, thank you. First off, thank you very much for asking me to speak about this. What we did at Oshkosh was a proof of concept of a program that we are calling the Pilot Proficiency Project, which was a combination of targeted seminars as well as simulator scenarios conducted in the Redbird FMX to improve pilot proficiency. We and SAFE had been actually started talking about this project way back in 2010, seeing the need to help pilots maintain or regain proficiency. I think we can all agree that one of the reasons pilots are not necessarily having fatal accidents, but certainly having landing incidences and insurance claims and whatnot, is because of a lack of proficiency. It's more and more expensive to fly, and pilots tend not to fly as frequently. So that's where the idea originally came to light. And we got EAA to agree to allow us to present this as a proof of concept. And to be very honest, I think we knocked it so far out of the park, they still can't find the ball.
So I actually stopped in there and I saw what the guys were doing with the Redbird. They had a full motion flight simulator there. Can you talk a little bit more about exactly what they were doing with that?
Well, we developed 11 different scenarios to run in this. So they were all pre-programmed. And pilots could elect to choose whichever scenario or scenarios they wanted to do. And there were scenarios for VFR pilots. There were scenarios for IFR pilots. We had high-density altitude takeoffs, high-density altitude landings, IFR approaches where you were forced to accept a downwind approach to get below minimums, contaminated runways, things of that nature. A lot of things that not only worked with stick and rudder skills, but also good decision making. And these scenarios were running typically 20 minutes. The full session was an hour. The pilot would get a 20-minute pre-brief prior to getting into the simulator, fly the simulator for 20 minutes, and then have a 20-minute debrief. We did learn, though, that we needed to make some improvements to that, and in the future, and we are looking to be doing this in the not very distant future, we're going to be modifying that and actually having a 30-minute session in the simulator where pilots will actually get a little more time just to settle down with what it's like to fly the FMX. The other thing we realized is the FMX was set up with a glass cockpit. It was a Skyhawk with a G1000 in it. Some pilots hadn't flown glass, and that kind of threw them off, so we're going to give pilots the option to fly either with glass or with legacy steam gauge instruments. But all of these scenarios develop not only stick and rudder skills, but also good decision-making skills.
Okay, so yeah, that sounds like a good idea to have more options for the pilots so they get more out of it and also some extra time. Now, the pilots basically just showed up there and signed up, and this was all free for them. Is that right?
Absolutely, 100% free. What kind of really thrilled us was that you had to sign up the day that you wanted to fly the simulator, and typically by 9 o'clock, every simulator slot had been filled. If we had had more simulators, if we had had more instructors, I think we could have just kept them all going all day long, every day. Amongst other things, we certainly didn't have enough staff to be able to do that, but the demand was there. Just pilots seemed to really love this. The other thing is that we did ask every pilot who partook, not only in the simulator sessions, but also at all the seminars that we gave, to fill out survey forms. And we got over 33% return rate on the surveys, and the surveys really came back basically in the excellent range for the most part, between 4.8, 4.7, 4.8 out of a possible 5. So the pilots really seemed to love it.
Great. Now, you're planning to offer this again at more aviation events. Is that the idea?
Absolutely. We've been negotiating with several different organizations, and things are moving right ahead, on track, on schedule. I'm not at liberty to say just yet where the next one is going to be, but everything is in the works, and as I said, we've made some improvements, and it hopefully it'll be the same kind of hit that it was at AirVenture.
Okay, and if pilots are interested in getting this kind of refresher training or maybe trying out the simulator scenarios, are there other ways for them to do that besides, you know, just going to an event where you're having the seminars?
I'm glad you asked that, Mary. Yes, there is. Redbird certainly was a major part of this. Jerry and Charlie Gregoire were just so 100% behind this project, and then Josh Harnagle, who does a lot of the programming, and Roger Sharp, who's their chief pilot or chief instructor, all worked together with us. And we will be making all of these scenarios available in zip files on the SAFE website. For anyone. This won't be just for SAFE members. So as soon as these are up, it hasn't happened yet. There's still a few technological areas that have to be fixed and to make it all work. But all these, and really to the generosity of Redbird, will be available to anyone who has a Redbird simulator, even if it's a desktop TD type simulator, can come once we've posted these to the SAFE website, download these in a zip file and plug it right into their Redbird simulator and be able to run these scenarios.
Oh, okay.
So we're pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
And that it's a way to reach out to the pilot public, give them these scenarios. Obviously, they won't necessarily have an instructor to work with them on it, but also flight schools can download the scenarios. Any flight school that's running an FMX can go and download these and put them to work to help make for safer pilots. That's what it's all about.
Okay, and is there anything else that SAFE is up to that you can tell us about?
Yeah, we've got a variety of different projects that we're working on. We have a resource center that is getting bigger and bigger, and we're in the process of improving that resource center, making more resources available not only to members but also to the public, in the forms of PowerPoints and things of that nature. We're also working on now, we have a very newly energized membership committee, and we're going to be doing a major outreach to the K-12 teacher community. We feel that these are certainly aviation educators, and what with the importance of STEM, science, technology, engineering, math, what a perfect fit with aviation. And we feel that we in SAFE can do a lot to help that process, to make resources available to the K-12 teacher so that they can use aviation in helping to teach these STEM core things to the K-12 folks.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Well, thanks a lot, Doug, for taking some time. I appreciate it, and good luck with all your programs there.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. Thanks for calling, and hopefully we'll see you at the next one.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.